Shalom and welcome to Rambam Yomi. This is Rabbi Mati Novik. Join me as we learn the Rambam's Mishnah Torah, one perek each day.
Today we'll be learning Hilchot Yom Tov, Perek Gimel. After covering the details of Muktzah and Hachana on Yom Tov in the last perek, this perek and the next one go through specific malachot and explain how they may and may not be performed on Yom Tov. This perek focuses on malachot involved in food preparation. First, slaughtering an animal and the malachot which accompany that or immediately follow it. Then the process of cooking meat or baking bread. And finally, malachot which come up in preparing foods other than meat and bread. There are many technical details here, and our focus will be on fundamental principles, some interesting cases, and halachot which have practical relevance. Halacha Aleph. Mi shehayalo afar muchan, o efer shemutar letaltalo, harei ze shochet chayav va'of umchase damam. Vim eino afar muchan, o efer haraui, hareze lo yishchot. Vim avar v'shachat, lo yichase damam ad la'erev. V'chein biriya, shi'isafek im chayahi, im behema, ein shochtino ta biyom tov. V'im shachat, lo yichase damo ad la'erev. Afilu haya lo afar muchan, o efer, shema yomar haroe, chayava da'itu, ulfichach kisa damo biyom tov. V'yavo haroe lehatir chelbo. There is a mitzvah of kisui hadam, which requires anyone who slaughters a chaya or oaf, an undomesticated animal like deer, or fowl like chicken or geese, to cover part of the blood with dirt. Slaughtering an animal is permitted on Yom Tov, but dirt is generally muktzah, so how can this mitzvah be done on Yom Tov? The solution is to set aside dirt for this purpose in advance, and we saw how to do that in the last halacha of the last perek. Alternatively, ashes may be used for kisui hadam, and we saw in that same halacha that ashes remaining from a fire which burnt on Erev Yom Tov are considered muchan, as are ashes from a fire burnt on Yom Tov itself if they are still sufficiently warm. In the absence of either of these solutions, one should not shecht a chaya or oaf on Yom Tov at all, and if he does, then kisui hadam must wait until after Yom Tov. If one has an animal whose halachic categorization is in doubt, it may be a chaya, or it may be considered a behema, which does not require kisui hadam. The Mishnah and the Gemara refer to this type of animal as a koi. Then he similarly may not shecht it on Yom Tov, and if he does, he may not cover the blood until after Yom Tov, even if he has dirt set aside for this purpose. Why can't he use dirt which is muchan and not muktzah? The problem is that an onlooker, seeing this person do kisui hadam on Yom Tov, may reach the erroneous conclusion that the koi is definitely a chaya, and therefore he will eat its chelev. Recall that the chelev of a chaya is permitted, but the chelev of a behema is prohibited to eat, with a very severe punishment of karet. In order to prevent this misimpression, we push off the kisui hadam until after Yom Tov, when any onlooker would understand, or at least entertain the possibility, that the kisui is being done due to a suffix rather than because the animal is definitely a chaya. Halacha Bet adds that in a case where one shechts multiple animals of different types on Yom Tov, some requiring kisui hadam and others not, and the blood of the different types mixed together, he may not do kisui on the mixture, even from some muchan dirt or ashes, unless the kisui can be done in a single act of moving dirt with a shovel onto the blood, so as to avoid doing any extra activity just for the blood which does not require kisui. Halacha Gimel. Hashochet behema biyom tov, mutar lo litlosh tzemer limkom hasakin biado, uvilvad shelo yizizenu mimkomo, ela yishaer sham misubach bishar tzemer hatzavar. Aval ba'of, lo yimrot, mipnei shehu darko, v'nimitza tolesh biyom tov. One who needs to shecht an animal on Yom Tov may pull out wool from the area on the neck where the shechita will be done. This is not the normal manner of gozes, shearing, and therefore Chazal permitted it in order to enable the shechita. However, the wool removed in this manner may not be moved at all, and must be left entangled in the hair on the animal's neck. The Shulchan Aruch disputes this lenient psak of the Rambam, and rules that the wool on the neck may only be pulled to the side of the place where the shechita will be done, not intentionally pulled out of the animal altogether. In any event, pulling out feathers by hand from a bird is the normal manner of removing the bird's feathers before slaughtering it, and therefore even the Rambam agrees that this may not be done when shechting a chicken or a goose. Halacha Dalet. Hamafshit or habehema biyom tov, lo yimlachenu, sheze ibudhu, v'nimtza oseh melacha shelo letzorach achila, aval notno lifnei beit hadrisa kedei shiyidrasu alav v'lo yipased. V'lo hitiru davar zeh ela mipnei simchat yom tov, kedei shelo yimana milishchot, umutar limloach basar litzli al gabei ha'or, umarimim bedavar zeh, ketzad, moleach ma'at basar bechan uma'at bechan ad shimalach ha'or kulo. When a slaughtered animal is skinned on Yom Tov, one may not salt the hide, as this is a form of ibud, tanning the hide, which is not melechet ochel nefesh, and therefore prohibited on Yom Tov. In order to prevent the hide from going to waste, it may be put in a place where people walking by will step on it, which will preserve it until it can undergo proper tanning after Yom Tov. This was only permitted by Chazal so that people would not abstain from shechting animals on Yom Tov in the first place, in order to avoid losing the hide. This would detract from Simchat Yom Tov, so Chazal permitted laying out the hide where people will walk on it. Recall that any meat which will be cooked or roasted needs to be salted first to remove the blood, and less salt is required for roasting than for cooking, because blood drips out of the animal and onto the ground during the roasting process. Cooking, on the other hand, is done inside a pot. So if the meat of the slaughtered animal will be roasted, then the hide can be salted through a subterfuge, a harama. Salt the meat while it is still attached to the hide. Halacha Hey adds that this subterfuge may not be done when the meat will be cooked in a pot, as this requires much more salt, and putting on so much salt while the meat is still attached to the hide is too obvious a subterfuge to permit. We'll skip the remaining technical details of skinning a slaughtered animal appearing in Halachot Vav and Zayin. We end this discussion of Shechita and its accompanying Melachot by mentioning that a custom developed during the time of the Achronim not to shecht animals on Yom Tov, only chicken and other fowl. There were three reasons for this development. One, as there developed chumrot in the matter of treifot, and specifically of the common treifa of the lung in a cow or sheep, the likelihood increased that an animal shechted on Yom Tov would be found to be a treifa, and hence inedible, meaning, in retrospect, that the shechita was not a melechet ochel nefesh at all. Recall from the last parak that the Rambam permits shechting a suffik treifa on Yom Tov on the chance that it is perfectly fine. However, other poskim felt that such a situation should be avoided, at least in the case of the very common treifa of the lung. 2. While in earlier times shechita was done by each individual for his own family, or by a neighbor for a small number of families, over time shechita of large animals became the province of a small number of professional shochtim. It became very difficult for these shochtim to shecht and distribute meat from a large number of animals to many customers without violating the halachot against transacting on Yom Tov, for example by talking about and agreeing upon a specific price for the meat. We'll see more about the halachot of transacting on Yom Tov at the end of the next perek. Finally, as we've seen in the first halachot of this perek, shechita of a large animal is accompanied by the arduous tasks of skinning the animal and cutting it up, and the involvement in these tasks can detract from Simchat Yom Tov. All three of these reasons don't apply to birds. The first, about treifot, not at all, and the last two, not to the same extent as for other larger animals. And so shechting fowl on Yom Tov continued until modern times. With the advent of refrigeration, the need to shecht at all on Yom Tov was essentially eliminated, and nowadays it is very rare to hear of shechita being performed on Yom Tov at all. Halacha Chet. Mutar lalush isa gdola b'Yom Tov, v'halash isa me'erav Yom Tov, ein mafrish mimena chala b'Yom Tov, v'im lasha b'Yom Tov, mafrish mimena chala v'notna lakohen. V'im haita isa tmea, o shenit me tachala, lo yivashel tachala, she'ein mevashlim b'yom tov, ela le'echol, v'zo lisreifa omedet. V'chein ein sorfinota b'yom tov, she'ein sorfin kodshim, shenitma'u b'yom tov, she'sreifat kodshim shenitma'u mitzvat asei, shenamar ba'eshi sarif, v'asiyat malacha shina letzorach achila v'chayotzei ba, asei v'lo tase, v'ein asei doche et lo tase v'asei. One may need a large amount of dough on Yom Tov, even if he doesn't require all of it. This is akin to the cases of ribui shiurim, like filling up a pot with meat that we saw in Perek Aleph. Even though separating challah from dough is forbidden on Shabbat, like separating truma because it resembles tikkun or makibah patish, this may be done on Yom Tov, from dough needed on Yom Tov, as this is considered ochel nefesh, because there is no other way to permit the consumption of the dough. but one may not be mafrish challah from dough kneaded before Yom Tov, as this could have been done before Yom Tov. If the dough kneaded on Yom Tov is tahor, and hence the challah separated from it is tahorah, the challah is given to a kohen on the same day. But if the dough is tamei, what is done with the challah which was separated? It is inedible because it is tamei, so it can't be cooked or baked, as this isn't belechet ochel nefesh. There is a mitzvah to burn challah tameya, like truma tameya, as we mentioned in the last parak, but this too is not ochel nefesh and hence is forbidden on Yom Tov, even though we have a principle of asei dochelot asei, and burning challah tameya is a mitzvah asei. This principle doesn't apply here, because malacha on Yom Tov, that isn't ochel nefesh, is both an asei and a lot asei, as we mentioned at the beginning of parak Aleph, and ein asei dochelot asei v'asei. In halacha tet, the Rambam explains what must be done. Leave the challah alone until the evening, and only then burn it. What if it is Pesach, and this challah tameya will become chametz if left out that long? The answer is that on Pesach, don't separate challah from tamei dough in the first place. First, bake the dough into matzah, and only then separate challah from the baked final product. Then leave that piece of matzah until nightfall when it can be burnt. Halachot Yud and Yud Aleph discuss baking in different types of ovens which are no longer in general use, so we'll proceed to Halacha Yud Bet. Ein osin gvina b'yom tov, she'im gibei me'erev yom tov, ein bazeh chesron tam. Aval dachin et ha'tvalim kidarkan, she'im yaducho tam me'erev yom tov, yafug taman. Aval melach einoni doch b'yom tov, ela imkein hi taha machtesh, o she'yadok ba'kara v'chayutzeba, kidei she'yishaneh. Shim shachak ha-melech me'erev yom tov lo yafug tamo. Ve'ein shochakin et ha-pilpulin barichayim shalehen, ela dachotan ba'madocha kechol ha-tvalim. It is forbidden to make cheese on Yom Tov, because this can be done before Yom Tov without sacrificing anything in terms of taste. Recall what this means. We saw in Perek Aleph Halacha Hey that any melechet ochel nefesh, which can be done before Yom Tov, without any loss in taste or quality, is asur midrabanan to do on Yom Tov itself. So by mentioning this consideration here, the Rambam is saying that making cheese on Yom Tov is asur midrabanan, but permitted on a Torah level. This despite the fact that making cheese is a melacha doraita of boneh, building, because it involves joining small parts into a large mass, as we saw in Hilchot Shabbat, Perek Zayin. This is further proof that the Rambam, in contrast to other Rishonim like the Ramban and the Ravid, considers any melacha which creates food for Yom Tov to qualify as melechet ochal nefesh, and therefore is permitted mid'oraita on Yom Tov. Unlike cheese, spices do lose some taste after a day, and so spices may be crushed on Yom Tov. Salt lasts just fine after a day, so it may not be crushed in the normal manner, but may be crushed with a shinui. Even spices which may be crushed with a pestle or a similar implement may not be ground with a grinding implement, like pepper in a pepper mill. The Ramah concludes that two factors are relevant for determining whether and how it is permitted to grate or crush food on Yom Tov. First, will the taste or quality of the food be ruined if this is done before Yom Tov? If yes, like in the examples of onion, garlic, and fresh fruit, then the food may be grated or crushed on Yom Tov without any shinui. If there is absolutely no difference if the melacha is done before Yom Tov, then it may not be done on Yom Tov at all. But in an intermediate case, where there is a noticeable difference if the melacha is done earlier, but this doesn't ruin the food, then the food may be grated or crushed on Yom Tov, but may require a shinui. If it is the kind of food which is subject to tochein on a doraita level in general, namely gidulei karka like vegetables and possibly cheese, recall we discussed in an earlier shiur a debate whether animals are considered gidulei karka, then a shinui is required. But if the food isn't subject to tochein, like matzot, which are made from ground flour, and so there is no malacha of tochein midoraita if one grinds matzot into matzah meal, then this food may be ground or crushed without any shinui. Halacha Yud Gimel adds some details about how to crush grain kernels in cases where a shinui is required, and we'll continue with the question of sifting flour in Halacha Yud Dalet. Hakemach afal pi shirikdo me'erev yom tov vehisir menu hasubin, ein rakdino to pam shnia b'yom tov, ela imkei nafal tocho tzror o kisam l'chayutze behen, vim shina mutar, keitzad, kegon shirakeid me'achorei hanafa, o shirakeid al gabei hashulchan, v'chayutzei b'shinui zeh. The Rambam here speaks about sifting flour a second time on Yom Tov, the implication being that sifting flour the first time is always forbidden on Yom Tov, even if done with a shinui. This is indeed the psak of the Shulchan Aruch, and it makes perfect sense, because sifting may be done before Yom Tov without any loss of taste or quality in the flour. Sifting a second time, which is not as significant a melacha, because the first sifting already cleaned out the flour from large impurities, may be done on Yom Tov only if something like a pebble or a sliver of wood fell into the flour, or if the sifting is done with a shinui, for example, if the flour is put into the back end of the sifter. The Mishnah Berurah and the Aruch HaShulchan add that the second sifting is permitted with a shinui only if it is done using the same quality sifter as was used the first time. If a finer sifter is used, then this is considered the equivalent of a first sifting because of the added quality, and it is forbidden on Yom Tov altogether. The last halachot of this perek discuss borer on Yom Tov, and we begin with halacha tetvav. Molin melilot umefarchin kitniot biyom tov umunapeach al yad bechol kocho veochel vafilu bekanon o betamchui aval lo betavla velo bichvara vechin haboer kitniot biyom tov boer kedarko becheko uvetamchui aval lo benafa velo betavla velo bichvara. One may separate grain kernels from their husks between his fingers on Yom Tov, and he may remove legumes like beans or peas from their pods in the same manner. He may then blow away the shells and take from the kernels to eat. He may even use a kli, like a tray, to help separate the parts, but not a sieve. This halacha establishes that even though borer is one of the melachot which the Rambam listed in Perek Aleph as asur on Yom Tov, because it can be done before Yom Tov without any loss, the parameters under which borer may be done on Yom Tov are more lenient than those which govern borer on Shabbat. Recall that on Shabbat, three conditions are necessary to permit an act of selection. Ochel mitoch psolet, and not the other way around. The act must be for the purpose of immediate use. And the selecting must be done by hand, or an extension of the hand, like a fork or spoon, and not with a kli. This exact case of molin melilot from our halacha appears also in Hilchot Shabbat Perakaf Aleph. But there, regarding Shabbat, the Rambam writes that no kli may be used, even the kanon and tamchui, which are permitted here. And using a kli means that the manner of selection will be psolet mitoch ochel, which is forbidden on Shabbat even when using one's hands to do the selection. The next halacha makes it clear that the permitted manner of selection depends on whichever way involves less tircha. B'medvarim amurim, kisha ha'ochel merube al ha'psolet. Aval im hayta ha'psolet meruba al ha'ochel, borer et ha'ochel umaniach et ha'psolet. V'im haya torach bivirat ha'psolet min ha'ochel, yater mitorach bivirat ha'ochel min ha'psolet, af al pi sha'ochel merube, borer et ha'ochel umaniach et ha'psolet. If it is easier to remove psolet from ochel, as is usually the case when there is more ochel than psolet, then we remove the psolet from the ochel. But if it is easier to remove the ochel from the psolet, like if there is more psolet, or if the psolet is very difficult to remove, then we remove the ochel from the psolet. So borer may be done on Yom Tov, not only by hand, but also using a kli, as long as it isn't a genuine borer utensil like a sieve. Borer is done on Yom Tov in whichever direction, ochel from psolet or the reverse, involves less work. And the Rama adds a leniency on the third condition from Shabbat as well. Borer on Yom Tov may be done for the purpose of using the food any time later in the day, and not necessarily for the meal immediately approaching. In sum, borer for use on Yom Tov is fundamentally permitted. The borer which the Rambam forbids in Perek Aleph is the borer of grain to be used in baking bread, as this is far removed from eating and can be done before Yom Tov. But borer among foods which one plans to eat on Yom Tov is permitted, as long as a kli like a sieve is avoided, and it must be done in whichever direction, ochel mitoch psolet, psolet mitoch ochel, is less burdensome. This concludes the discussion of melachot which may and may not be done in the course of preparing food on Yom Tov. In the next parak, the Rambam moves to other melachot and to several rabbinic gzerot in order to complete the details of the Isra Melacha on Yom Tov.
Thank you for joining me in learning today's parak of the Mishnah Torah. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas you'd like to share, I'd be happy to hear from you. Send me an email at mtorahyomi@gmail.com. That's M as in Mishnah, Torah, T-O-R-A-H, Yomi, Y-O-M-I, @gmail.com. Come back tomorrow as we continue with our next parak.